Like to welcome everyone out to the Heather Ridge Sixth Ward Sacrament Meeting today, and especially for those who are visiting for the first time. Bishop Miss Back is presiding today, and he's asked me, Brother Roberts, first counselor, to conduct. We have a few announcements I'd like to go over. One is with regards to state conference, and I'll read the notification we received from the stake. Dear Orem Youth Heather Ridge Stake members, under the direction of President Russell M. Nelson, we invite you to our stake conference scheduled for April 23rd and 24th. Elder Dane O. Levitt of the 70 has been assigned to preside at this conference. The conference will consist of a priesthood leadership session, an adult session, a youth session, and a general session. The priesthood leadership session will be held in the Heather Ridge Stake Center Saturday, April 23rd, beginning at 4 p.m. Those invited to attend include the stake presidency, stake clerk, assistant stake clerks, stake executive secretary, stake high counselors, patriarch, bishoprics, ward clerks, assistant ward clerks, ward assistants, and executive secretaries, branch presidencies, branch clerks, branch executive secretaries, high priest group leaders, and assistant and secretaries, elders quorum presidencies, secretaries, and secretaries, ward mission leaders, stake and ward young men presidencies and secretaries, and the Aaronic priesthood advisors. Okay, again, that will be at the Heather Ridge Stake Center. All stake members ages 18 and older are invited to attend the adult session scheduled for 7 p.m. Saturday, April 23rd in the Heather Ridge Stake Center. The theme of the adult session is Building Faith in Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and His Atonement. Sunday, the youth session is for all youth leaders and youth ages 12 to 18 and will be held at 7 a.m. in the Heather Ridge Stake Center. The Sunday general session is for all living within our stake and will be held at the Alpine Tabernacle in American Fork beginning at 10 a.m. on Sunday. So all the other meetings will be in the Heather Ridge Stake Center except for the general session. We invite all who can attend the temple during the week prior to the conference to more fully prepare spiritually. We also encourage each member of the stake to bring a less active member or non-member with them to conference. We love you and look forward to experiencing this very exciting stake conference with you. We pray these conferences will assist you in your efforts to develop greater faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have greater peace in your home. Sincerely yours, the Orem, Utah Heather Ridge Stake Presidency. We also need six men and six women to take part in the stake choir for the stake conference. So those who would like to participate, if you could identify yourself to me today. I'm supposed to get back to the stake presidency by this evening. There'll be two times that they'll be practicing, April 16th and April 23rd at 9 a.m. We also have a need in preparation for the stake trek. We need six-person tents, 3 4-person tents, and 3 propane stoves. Items which are lent for the stake or for the trek will be returned in good condition or replaced by the stake. A 3/4-ton four-wheel drive truck, which can be pull a trailer, is also needed. If you could get that information to Brother Butler, that would be great. We greatly appreciate that. The opening hymn will be on page 22. We listen to a prophet's voice, and the invocation will be offered by Sister Debbie Hill.
Thank you. Our dear righteous and eternal Heavenly Father, we are thankful unto thee for thy many blessings, and we are thankful that we are able to join here together as a ward family for sacrament meeting, that we might be able to partake of the sacrament and to renew our covenants with thee. And we are thankful for the gospel and for the many blessings it does give us in our lives. And we pray that we'll be able to serve others so we might be able to reach out to them and be able to know that this is the true church. And we're thankful that we're able to share that as missionaries. And you'll bless the missionaries also and help them and bless the leaders that lead and guide this ward, that you will bless them and help them with guidance and inspiration. We say these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
At this time, I'll turn the time over to the bishop for some ward business.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Could Corinne Young join me here at the podium? This beautiful young lady was baptized yesterday. We would like to recognize and congratulate her for this important step in taking the ordinance of baptism. So if you see Corinne in the hall, be sure to congratulate her and shake her hand. Congratulations, Corinne.
We have released the following individuals: Wendy Hall, Relief Society Visiting Teaching Supervisor, and Sister Sam DeGraff, Relief Society Visiting Teaching Supervisor. We propose that they be given a vote of thanks for their service, and all those who wish to express their appreciation may do so by the uplift of the hand. We have called the following individual. Please stand as your name is read. Christina Beebe, primary worker. We propose that she be sustained. Those in favor may show it by the uplifted hand. Those who oppose, if any, may do it by the same sign. Last month, I was visiting my daughter and son-in-law in Philadelphia and had the opportunity to attend their very tiny, diverse branch in downtown Philadelphia, and it happened to be on Fast and Testimony Sunday. It was a great experience, again, always when you travel, to see the church and the testimonies of our members. And some of these members were relatively new to the gospel, but they had a very passionate and very committed testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had an opportunity to bear my testimony that day, and hopefully was able to contribute to the spirit of that meeting. We just completed a great state general conference, and I'd like to just bear my testimony that it is such a blessing to live in these days where we have a living prophet. We have apostles that provide guidance for us in these latter days. It was very uplifting to hear their words of guidance and insights into what we need to be thinking about and what we need to be doing for our families. I have a very strong testimony of the scriptures, the Book of Mormon, and the other scriptures. I have been right now reading the New Testament, and I've been using the study guide to kind of help gain greater insights into the passages that are in the New Testament. And I'm gaining a greater appreciation of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he taught and what he represented and what he did for us. And I do have a strong testimony that he died for us and has created a way for us to be able to repent and to progress and to return to our Heavenly Father. I also am very grateful for my family and the fact that families are a foundation for what we are doing here in this life, is to be able to grow and develop as families and to prepare ourselves to live as eternal families. And I do appreciate that, and I cherish my family and the love that I have for them. Again, you know, I think it's a privilege for us to have the opportunity each month to reflect on our testimony and to be able to stand and bear it. I think through that we are able to strengthen ourselves, but also be able to strengthen others. And I know each time I hear somebody bear their testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it helps me. It helps me gain a greater appreciation for what Jesus Christ has done for us. I'd like to close that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the time is now for you to bear your testimonies. We'd like to end at 5 after. Thank you.
My name is Randy Porter, and I'm excited about this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have very much enjoyed General Conference, and my thoughts all week have been around those messages, and I've just been excited in the work in the gospel. I want to testify that we have a living prophet and apostles on this earth, and as I listened to them speak, my heart just filled with joy. Over the last year, I've been going back and listening to General Conferences, a lot of older ones, all the way back 15 and more years. Some of them, as I listened to them, I thought, where was I when this was given? And I realized that there was a point and a time in my life where I tuned that out. And there was much counsel given that I look back on my life and wish I would have heeded. But I'm grateful for where I am now, and I'm grateful for my testimony. I know this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm so thankful for that. I got a call from my stepson this morning. He's driving back. We've been up all week in Washington, loading up my wife's things and bring them down, and he's driving back, and he's excited because we have his mission call on our table at home. It came on Friday, and we're going to open that tonight. And he's excited about his mission. And he told me, he says, I really would like to be there today. Something's happening inside of him that's exciting as he is preparing himself to serve a mission. And he said, I'd really like to be there today to get up and bear my testimony. And one thing he had expressed to me that I thought maybe I would share is his concern about the youth of the church not taking the council serious to serve a mission. That he runs into other young men who say, yeah, I know we're all supposed to, but I decided I'm not going to. By all means, Blake is not perfect. As he's been preparing for his mission, I've been trying to help him to recognize some of the things that he needs to work on. And maybe I've been a little nitpicky and pointing out some of his weaknesses and things, but he recognizes things that he needs to work on, and I just want to echo his words that every young man should prepare to serve a mission. And even though you may not be perfect, prepare your hearts, prepare your mind to serve a mission. And once you get out in your mission, a lot of those things that maybe you're struggling with will be resolved, like humility, patience, and I just want to counsel all you young men, especially, that the mission for me was one of the greatest things that I ever did for myself. I wouldn't be half the man I am today without the mission, without serving a mission. I just had my mission, my 30-year mission reunion two weeks ago, Friday, the day before conference started, and to see these men who I looked up to as zone leaders and senior companions, as assistants to the president, to see how great these men are and how they've continued to serve in the church. We even have one of my mission zone leaders has become now an area authority, and to listen to his testimony and see the power that the keys that he holds to lead the people in the area where he serves, was such a wonderful thing. The mission changes young men's hearts and turns them into leaders who can testify of Jesus Christ and use their priesthood power anywhere and anytime. I counsel you young men and old men and us middle-aged guys to remain faithful and be prepared to be able to exercise your priesthood at any time. I know it is the power of God given to men on earth to bless the lives of Heavenly Father's children. I know that the Book of Mormon is true. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yesterday, I was baptized, and I was really excited. And I got confirmed by the people who love me. I felt really happy when I went under the water. Even though that I was cold when I got out, I was still warm. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
So today, as I went outside, I noticed it was a beautiful spring morning, and I couldn't help but be reminded that around this time, around springtime, 190-odd years ago, was when Joseph Smith went out to what we now call the Sacred Grove. He knelt down, and he prayed to ask the question, what church should he join? Which church was true? And in a miraculous vision, he saw our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, who told him that none of the churches on earth were true or correct at that time, and that the gospel was yet to be restored. So this started the whole restoration and everything that we have today. Last week, we were able to listen to Conference and Living Prophets. Blake has a mission call and is going to go out and proclaim this gospel, and he's going to teach people about the restoration. And I'm just reminded that all of this happened because Joseph Smith decided to ask that very important question on a spring day. And my heart this morning was just so full as I listened to some hymns that were about the restoration. And I was reminded again how much I love the church and I love the gospel. And I'm so thankful that Joseph Smith had the courage to not only ask the question, but then to see it through and to follow God's commandments and to be the first prophet of this restoration. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet, and I know that the gospel that we teach today is true. I know that Thomas S. Monson is our prophet today, and I'm so grateful for all that he does for us. I love my Savior, Jesus Christ, and I love that he loved us enough to restore this church and to teach, to allow us to live in this wonderful time. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Janelle Young, and I can't believe we've been in the ward for almost 5 years now. It's been fun to watch our kids grow bigger and then also grow in their testimonies. Last month at our house, we actually had a testimony meeting with our kids, and it was cool to see Oakley's testimony that she knows she feels happy when she plays with her dad, and that Gideon's testimony is that he loves his family, and then Corinne knows that she should follow the commandments, and then Alana believes the scriptures are true. So it's just neat to see their testimonies growing, and I just feel like as we have experiences in life, those experiences either increase our faith or decrease our faith in Christ, depending on how we interpret them or respond to them. This last month, well, I guess in February, my dad passed away. And one of the experiences that we got to have is that we got to help transport him from Idaho to Utah to his burial. And at first, I was just thinking, this is going to be a little bit weird. This is something that I had never thought that I would do. But it was neat to have that experience, and it was actually more of a spiritual experience for me. And I believe that even though my father wasn't perfect, the most consistent thing in his life was that he knew the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. He would listen to his scriptures on audio, and the things that he did in his life, like contributing to mission funds or things like that for people to go on missions, kind of was a testimony of what he believed was right and true. Sorry, I brought Oakley up here because she was upset yesterday that she didn't get baptized. After she saw Corinne, she needed a turn, so she was like, all right, well, I at least need to go up with you, Mom, when you bear your testimony. But I'm very proud of Corinne, too. She woke up this morning and said, Mom, you need to help me write my talk. And I said, you don't have a talk, sweetheart. It's testimony meeting, and you can get up and share what you believe if you want. But she was like, well, I want to write what I believe. And so she did that this morning, and she's never fasted before, but this morning she woke up as well and said that she would like to fast. So anyway, I am grateful for her example and for her decision to be baptized. And I know that Christ is our Savior, that the gospel has been restored, and that we can rejoice in the things that we know in this gospel. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Good morning. Corinne, you were so brave coming up here, and I thought, if you can be so brave, I can be brave too. So you made me come up here. Way to go. I'm Janita Anderson, and it's nice to be back. Feels like home here. It is home. Steve and I have been serving in the hospital branch at Utah Valley Regional Hospital. And for those of you who are not aware of this, our stake leads a small branch at the hospital so that we can serve patients there. And I just want to share how grateful I am for that calling and the opportunity to be there and serve others at their greatest time of need. And Well, I think it's interesting when we serve people how often those same people that we're serving serve us. And I always feel like when I'm in the presence of these patients that where we take the sacrament off of the sacrament to patients, and I always feel like they serve me because of their faith. I'm so inspired by them. We bring the sacrament to them, and they're so grateful to have the sacrament. They often just tear up or just outright cry, and so grateful that there's someone bringing them the sacrament at this point in their lives when they're laying in a hospital bed, you know, and hospitals can get icky, and you just want to be home and want to be well, and who knows what's going on with their health at that time that they're needing medical help with. And it's inspired me to not think of the sacrament so casually, and to really realize how sacred it is, and the opportunity to have it to strengthen us and to reconnect and to reconnect to spiritual promises and commitments. And anyway, I'm just grateful for that opportunity to be with these people and to be able to serve them and feel of their spirit. And we also get to go during the month to visit and during an evening for those who've just been admitted. So I wanted to mention this. So I want you to think about when you've served someone. And maybe it was a project or something that you did. Maybe it was part of a youth group, whatever it is. And that feeling that you have, why is it that we have that feeling where we feel so good when we feel like we've truly helped somebody else? Can you connect to that feeling right now? And I feel like that feeling is a spirit inside of us because we are of divine nature. We are a daughter and a son of God. And so when we act in service by loving others, we are connecting to our divine nature. And that's the feeling that we get. That's the spirit that's inside of us that makes us feel so good. And sometimes it's just something small that we did, but we feel so good after we did it. And so I want us to think about how can we connect to that more in our daily lives. And when we think about serving others, you know, sometimes we think, oh, it has to be some kind of big project or some calling that we have to have. Maybe we need to go visit another country and serve those who are, you know, disadvantaged compared to us. And those obviously are great things to do. But I also wonder about the things that are just here at home and the people who are around us, like right here or within the walls of our homes. That's where we can be of biggest service. And if we can focus on that and think about how can we share our love and our divine nature with each other and have that good feeling. And I feel like we are truly in our service of our God when we serve one another, when we serve our fellow men and our fellow women. And it begins right at home. And just the kindnesses, just being nice, expressing gratitude, helping someone out in the family that day, you know, today, later today, just all those little things in our interactions with people at the grocery store or when we're driving, just keeping our temper down and just having good thoughts about people, being positive. So anyway, that's in my heart, and I just feel like that's when we really connect with the Spirit, and I'm grateful for this calling that I do have that has reminded me of this, and I want to do more of that, and I'm grateful for my belonging in the gospel and the church, and I feel like it makes me a better person, and I want to be a better person, and I'm grateful for that journey that I can continue to improve and always come back to repenting and changing and developing myself. And I'm grateful for this big adventure called life and the opportunity to live life through the lens of the gospel and the meaning and the purpose that it brings to me and to us, and just living a life that's maybe not so closed and just so self-centered, but to be able to live a bigger life, a more divine life. And I'm grateful for my family and grateful to be a grandmother. My little grandbaby's over there with Nina, and we're so grateful for him. And seeing him as a new spirit coming into our lives just reconnects us, you know, to life and God and heavenly things, and I'm grateful for that. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
For those of you that don't know me, I'm Lyle Sperry, and Janet and Michaela are my family, and I've been fighting for the last 2 hours not to come up here, but unfortunately the Lord has a bigger plan for that. So, but I had an interesting thing happened to me last weekend over conference. My brother got 2 tickets to the priesthood session, and I was so excited to go, and I wanted my work week to end so I could get there. And it was so interesting because we rode tracks up, and while we were riding tracks, we were watching all these missionaries to be. They were all going to the conference center for priesthood session, and the contrast to that, to the priesthood session, is so different. And the thing that stood out to me was you could see the missionaries who are ready to go now and the ones who weren't quite there. And it's kind of interesting because my brother just recently got his priesthood, and I was able to give that to him. And it was such a contrast to see the light in him versus the light in them. And I don't know if it's because he's kind of like me. He's had to fight for his testimony. He's had to fight for who he is or anything like that. But as we were riding up, he kind of looked at me and he goes, "It's going to be so interesting to see how the rest of this year goes, because I'm contemplating putting my mission papers in, and I'm contemplating whether to stay here." And so we get up to the conference center, and as we're walking, there's the protesters outside, and I said, "Okay, pay no attention to these guys. Just walk on by. Don't even make eye contact, nothing. It's okay." And he goes, "Lyle, I know who I am." And that was the biggest compliment to me, because I was able to give him a power that gave him the ability to be something more. And I got to really see that in my brother, and I got to see that in me. He sat down with me after, and we ate dinner after the conference and everything, and he was just going about how many people were actually in the conference center and how many of those guys were that had the priesthood power all in one spot. And he looked at me and he goes, "Lyle, it's just like we're all leaders to the world." He's like, "I could see everybody in there as a leader." And I said, "That's how you're supposed to feel. Welcome to the club." And he had this look of just awe for the rest of the night. And as we were eating, he just kind of looked at me and he said, "Lyle, I'm so glad that you're with me." And I've never felt that burn of a priesthood fellowship with a person, because my dad is very inactive and he does not want to be a part of the church, but he believes in the gospel. And it's so interesting to see that contrast, because my brother believes and he's fighting to know who he is and know what this is all about. And I'm with Randy on this point. I urge all the young men, if you're not ready, you better start getting there now. The time for prep is over. The Lord's work moves too fast now. It waits for nobody, and if you're not ready, it's going to run you over. I can't express to you how much how much the presidency loves you guys, loves all of us. In the conference center, you feel like there's such a devotion to us. And it's not for their purposes to get higher in heaven. It's nothing like that. It really is a truly love for all of us. And if you're not preparing to take this seriously, you better start getting the mindset if you're really going to do it. This life waits for nobody. And I'm to attest of that because I didn't prepare correctly, and I missed out on some serious blessings that I should have had in my life. But I'm grateful to know what I missed. I'm grateful to know who I am now. But if you're not taking it seriously, please take a second look at it, because you really need to know who you are before you go. You really need to know what you believe before you go, because it will not wait for you. You have to take it on head on. I have a true testimony of this gospel. I know that we are supposed to be here at this time and age. Everybody is here for a reason. There are no coincidences and there are no accidents. We are who we are for the reason. Let's prep and act like we know God lives and he gives us the words in the gospel to be who we are. I have a true testimony of that. I know that this gospel lives. I know that our prophet, Thomas S. Monson, he loves us. He cares for us and he gives us guidance every single day. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Tara Wagley. We've been in the ward for a little over 2 years, and this pulpit is terrifying, so I don't get up here very often. But I thought I would like to take this opportunity and be able to share my testimony with those of you I've grown to love and know in this ward, because I have a feeling it'll be a while before I can sit through a full sacrament meeting again. Recently, for spring break, we were able to go with my sister and her children down to Capitol Reef. And they have a 12-year-old son with Down syndrome that has a really difficult time communicating. But everything, he was in heaven, climbing on rocks and everything, and he just loved it, and it made me kind of step back and look at life maybe through his eyes. And everything is a yes or no question for him. And it's like, are you having fun, Reese? Yes or no? And he'll say, yes. Are you ready to go swimming, Reese? Yes or no? Yes, you know. And I thought, life really can be that simple. Do I know my Heavenly Father lives? Yes or no? Yes, I know he lives. Is this gospel true? Yes or no? Yes, it is. We make life way more complicated than it has to be sometimes. If we break it down into simple yes or no, we know these things. We've been taught these things. Do we believe them? Do we live them? Yes or no? Each of us will answer that differently. And I was grateful for that chance to kind of step back and put things into perspective. Am I scared to death to have another newborn? Yes. Am I super excited? Yes. Am I ever going to sleep again? No. Things can be broken down into yes or no questions. And I think that's where sometimes we need to be in our lives. We need to break down, take down all the complications we make, and break it down to, do I know my Savior loves me? Yes. Am I perfect? No. Did he atone for my sins in the Garden of Gethsemane? Did he die on the cross for me? Yes, he did. Can that help me be a better person? Yes, it can. I just wanted to let my Heavenly Father know that I love him and I appreciate him. And do I believe in miracles in this life? Yes. Do I believe that prayers are answered? Yes. Do I believe they're always answered the way that we want? No, they're not. We have tests and trials, and I'm so grateful to have a living prophet and apostles and leaders that speak with our Heavenly Father on our behalf, that we can listen to a conference that teach us, everybody has trials. You are not alone. It's okay. You're going to make it through. Your Savior loves you. You can forgive others. I am grateful for this gospel. I am grateful for the knowledge and the peace and comfort it provides in my life when times do get difficult. I'm grateful for the peace and comfort in my life when times are happy and easy. It's always there. We just have to look for it. I love my Savior very much, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
My name is Kyle Nottingham. My wife, Katie, and I have been in the Lord for about 9 months now. I just want to quickly bear my testimony about how well the Lord knows each one of us. As I reflect on different parts of my life, I look at the priesthood holders and leaders specifically that the Lord has blessed me with. And what amazing men and examples that I have had in the most critical times of my life. I think a lot of the bishops and stake presidents, and especially mission presidents, that have helped me learn the gospel and understand that I truly am a child of God and that he has a plan for me, and that life's a lot better when we follow that plan and instead of trying to do our own thing. But I testify also in the power of repentance and the great blessing that that is, and the opportunity to become better each and every day despite the weaknesses and mistakes that I know I make each and every day. And in that regard, the blessing is to have such wonderful priesthood leaders, such as bishops, that can truly become our best friends as we reach out to them and ask them for help in overcoming a lot of the trials that and mistakes that we make. I testify that the Savior really did come to this earth, that he lived, and that he died for each one of us, and that he knows each one of us personally. And I testify that he lives today, and that he's at the head of this church, and that the prophets and apostles today know him well, and they instruct us according to exactly what he wants us to know. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You want to come up here and bear my testimony, but someone won me too, I guess. Before I joined the church, when I was investigating the church, a couple of times the adversary didn't want me to join the church. For example, maybe you know the story. I was working for a moving company and we wear coveralls, you know, and all that. And we were driving on a freeway like 65, 70, 75 miles an hour. And this friend of mine joined the church about 2 years before I did. He was an elder. And then as we work in, we talk about the gospel, you know, during the work. And at that time, we were driving on a freeway, and we had a brand new truck, brand new truck. And I was leaning on the door, and I started dozing off, you know. And as we're driving, all of a sudden the door opened. And I see myself going off the truck. And this friend of mine grabbed me by the coverall, you know, and pulled me back inside a truck. This is one of the experiences. Another time, we went to this house and the lady showed us what's going on to be loaded in a truck and all that. And we went to the patio and she said, this, and this goes, you know, the chairs and all that. And we come back into the house. And then to make sure that what we're gonna take on the patio, I went back and she closed the sliding door and she washed the windows and it was sparkling, you know? And I thought the door was still open, so I went back to the patio and knock against the glass door. And the window, the glass shattered. And I see a piece of glasses coming down in front of me, and I froze. And a small piece of glass scratched me in the end. So if I had go through that door, I could have been cut off by a piece of glass or something and not be here today. To make the story short, when I joined a church, I said to myself, this is good. The product is good. It's 100% good. And so I said to myself, when you got a product that is 100% good in your hand, you can preach with power. Because the gospel has no flaw in it. And then I split with a full-time missionary, and it was exciting. And you know something else? Because I'm an old man, you know. But the Lord willing, I will serve a mission in this life. And so you, young man, if you decide not to go on a mission, I'll squeeze your head like a grape. Just joking. Anyway, in life, you know, you got some ups and downs. But like the saying said, you know, when you fall down, you dust yourself up and start all over again. Sometime when you have, you know, the ups and downs, you brush it off and you keep on going. I know a young man here in this ward. A lot of tribulation happened to him, you know. But yet, he has a strong testimony of the gospel. And I admire that. Even all the tribulation that he has, his testimony is strong. And sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves, you know. Many years ago, I was driving and on the flat land, and I see this car coming far away, you know, because it was flat. And I can see her talking with her mother. And then there was a stop sign on her side, and me, I could go through. I didn't have to stop. And as I was driving, I was in a Volkswagen, a Beetle. And I was driving, and I said, I come to that crossroad, almost, and she come to the crossroad and said, she gonna stop. oh, she will stop. And I'm driving, and I said, she will stop. Come in the middle of that crossroad, and bang, she let me have it. I went to the hospital, stayed in bed for 6 months, and then I got a little bit better. I got my hips fractured. I mean, it was a mess. And I stayed home, and I felt sorry for myself, and, you know, I said, why this happened to me, this, and that. But then I said, hey, don't feel sorry for yourself. Get up with your crutches and go to the temple. So that's what I did. I went to the temple and walked over there. It was a great experience, I'm telling you. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. The conference we just had, I wish it was like every Sunday conference, you know. That would be great. But we have to wait another 6 months. And like the prophet said, presently, the best is yet to come. The gospel is true. We have God live. Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I love Him for the great sacrifice that He made for you and me and all the world. I hope and pray that I will hold on to the iron rod and endure to the end. And I live my testimony with you, and I do so humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'll keep this as brief as I can. Unlike the young man who stood up here a few minutes ago saying he had been fighting it for 2 hours, I had not. However, it came to me very clearly that there is something that I needed to share, and this also is towards the young men that are in this room today. I hope you don't feel like you're being picked on. But the reality is this. You are at a crossroads in your life, and it's just like this. And if you make a decision to go that way, or if you make a decision to go that way, whether you serve a mission or you don't serve a mission, your life will never be the same either way. It will never be the same. I got a phone call a year ago. It was in May, just under a year ago. It was from somebody that we had baptized 35 years ago. And I had not seen them since. And they wanted to meet. And so we did. Joni and I met with them under the circumstances I will tell you in a minute. Young men, when you serve a mission, you never know whose door you're knocking on. We knocked on a family's door in Savannah, Georgia. And the long and the short of it is they ended up getting baptized. The reason that they wanted to meet is because they were coming to Salt Lake for a specific purpose. And in this conversation, he mentioned that he had been a bishop, a state president, regional representative to the Dominican Republic. They had served a couple's mission to Argentina. Both of their sons had served missions and sealed and married in the temple. And the reason that they wanted to meet with us is because they wanted Joni and I to meet their missionaries. Because they were in Salt Lake to have a missionary reunion, because when we had hooked up, he was the mission president, the Columbia Bogota South Mission. And they wanted us to sit up there and say, this is our missionary. Young man, I hope that you're taking it seriously. Because you know what? Serving a mission isn't about you. And it isn't about what it's going to do to you or for you, though it will. It's about what you're doing for someone else. And there is no greater thing that anyone can do in their life than to do something for someone else. And that is the example of our Savior Jesus Christ and what he did for all of us. The greatest example in his sacrifice and giving his own life and atoning for our sins. I bear testimony that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is true. And young men, serve a mission. It'll be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to thank all those who bore their testimonies today. Also thank Brother Jackman and Sister Buman for the music. The closing hymn can be found on page 133, Father in Heaven, and the benediction will be given by Sister Janelle Young.
Father in heaven, we are very thankful for all of our many blessings. We know that thou gives us all good things. We are so thankful for the Holy Ghost and for the Church of Jesus Christ here on the earth. We are thankful for the testimonies that have been born today. Please bless us that we can increase our faith in Christ and be able to become better followers of Christ. Please bless those who are teaching today that they can carry their message well to our hearts and that we will listen with our hearts. And please bless us throughout the week that we can make wise decisions. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.